unarmed attack damage by 5% per rank. General. Durability. Increases durability by plus 10 per rank. Some of the enchantments had colored backgrounds to indicate what spell school they came from. Some apparently were generic, though, which made Richter wonder if that meant there were some that even his essence specialty couldn't provide. If the enchantments weren't based on spells, how could he learn them? He shook his head. Just one more matter to be worried about at another time. There was another prompt waiting to be read that showed the enchantments that were contained in the Forge of Heavens that he hadn't learned yet. Weapons. Tracking. Struck creatures leave an obvious trail for 250 yards per rank. Analysis. No information about struck creature. Depth of knowledge dependent upon multiple factors, including but not limited to rank of enchantment, level of creature, etc. Mana stealing. 2 mana stolen per hit per rank. Metal decay. Can also apply to armor. 0.1 points of durability damage per charge expended per rank. Armor. Shockwave. Increases spell strength of shockwave by plus 5, base 5, per rank. Dark vision. Provides 10 yards of dark vision per rank. Increase attack speed. Increases attack speed by 1% per rank. For just 40 points, every one of his enchantments had jumped a rank. Of course, that didn't mean that he had to inspell anything up to its max rank. In all honesty, he probably wouldn't, due to a lack of captured souls. The fact that he now had the option to make more powerful enchantments, though, was awesome. Mana stealing and confusion in particular had been neglected by him for far too long, and multi-shot could also be powerful. He turned his attention back to his talents. One of the dwarven smiths had called out that he would have an item ready to be inspelled soon. Richter only had 37 TPs left. There was a wide array of talents left to choose from, but his gaze was pulled inexorably towards the one talent he'd had his eye on for months. It was the high cost that had always kept him away. The 50 talent points required were actually threatening to stymie him again. He felt like Ralphie on Christmas Eve. The object of his desire was right in front of him, but a ruddy-faced asshole had just told him he'd shoot his eye out. Fuck it, he thought. Even though he hadn't wanted to do it, he used his specialist talent again. You have used talent point conversion 4. By expending 175,000 experience, you have now gained 25 talent points. All experience earned will suffer a times 0.5 penalty until this XP is repaid. You have 70 talent points remaining. If you're gonna fuck yourself, might as well go deep. Richter purchased enough talent points for 2 acquisitions and a few left over besides. The penalty was really going to chafe for a while, but he knew it was worth the burn as he finally bought the talent. You have purchased the talent Increase Number of Enchantments for 50 talent points. Allows for a second enchantment to be placed on a single item. Attempting to create such an enchantment greatly increases the chances of the enchantment failing to take hold in whatever object you are working upon. All enchantable objects are still bound by the same rules of enchantment size and slots. You are currently rank 1 in Increased Number of Enchantments. Progression to rank 2 will cost 100 talent points. You have 20 talent points remaining. And while he was at it, might as well look at that bucket list. You have chosen to unlock the enchantment for Weak Life Aura. This enchantment can be applied to multiple mediums, armor, weapons, and items. You must choose which medium you wish to unlock. Unlocking further mediums will require separate purchases with talent points. Richter chose armor. You have now unlocked the armor enchantment Life Aura. Enchantment size unknown. Enchantment school life. You are currently at 0 of 4,000 of the mana cost to learn this enchantment. Effects unknown. You have 17 talent points remaining. He clapped his hands together and said the words his smiths had come to expect. Let's enchant some shit!
Chapter 29, Day 142, Kuborn 32, 0 AOC.
He walked up to one of the smiths that was putting the finishing touches on a spiked mace. The spikes added another point of damage to the mace's base attack. It was the only weapon schematic the village smiths knew for maces. Crom had been in his ear before about needing to acquire better schematics for weapons and armor. When Richter had asked why the smith didn't just make a flanged mace or any other type, Crom had responded that specific guidelines needed to be followed to ensure that the gear gained certain properties. Without the specific process, the mace would just be a fancy version of the base round ball version. Seeing his liege lord standing nearby, the dwarf stepped back with a pleased smile on his face.
"Will there be anything else, my lord?"
The dwarf's voice had a rolling brogue similar to Crom's, but much less pronounced. Hearing him speak brought the cantankerous smith to Richter's mind. He hoped the salt and pepper dwarf would return from his trial soon. Having so many of the village's skilled men and women absent as they tried to earn their professions had greatly hindered the efficiency of the village. It had really illustrated the importance of quality help to Richter. Despite Crom being gone, he was thankful for all the smiths that were still grinding away. It was reassuring to know that his village was not wholly reliant on any one man or woman. Richter looked at the smith, awaiting his response.
"This is great, Kalin."
He didn't even need to use Analyze to know the dwarf's name. That was happening more and more. The hundreds of people that made up his village were really starting to become like family. Of course, the fact that he spent time every day in the Forge of Heavens enchanting and working on his own meager smithing skills helped as well. The dwarf walked off to get a drink of water, and Richter examined his first enchantment victim for the day. You have found High Steel Spiked Mace. Attack 14 to 21. Durability 42 of 42. Item class Common. Quality Exceptional. Weight 2.6 kilograms. Traits, plus 10% damage versus spell barriers. Despite being less skilled than Crom, the dwarf's 31 skill levels and the exceptional quality of the weapon increased its base damage by 61%. He accessed his enchantment interface and got to work. There were only 7 minutes after an item was completed that Richter could inspell it without serious penalties to the final enchantment. The Chaos Seed sprinkled a measure of powdered crystal onto the metal. Do you wish to enchant High Steel Spiked Mace, yes or no? Richter quickly chose yes, and more prompts appeared. This weapon has 36 enchantment slots, base 15 from weapon quality, plus 15 from journeyman rank in enchanting, plus 20% for increased enchantment potential. A list of Richter's enchantments appeared again, and he decided to play with his latest toy. The enchantment cost of sonic damage level 2 is 4. You can reach the third rank of this enchantment, base plus 1 advance in rank. What rank would you like to enchant this item to? 1, 2, or 3? Richter chose 3, and another notification appeared showing how strong the final enchantment would be. Final yields from maximizing this enchantment are as follows. 9 to 10 earth damage, plus 200% versus air, plus 300% versus crystalline. Base 6, plus 48% for enchanting skill, plus 5% for increase enchantment strength, plus 10% for increase weapon enchantment. 7 to 8% chance to unleash the secondary enchantment, disarm. Base 6, plus 25% for increase additional effect chance. 3% chance to unleash tertiary effect. Base 3, plus 10% for increase additional effect chance. The cost to maximize this enchantment is 28 enchantment points. Do you wish to power this enchantment, yes or no? Everything that Richter had seen so far was basically consistent with other items he'd inspelled in the past. Now, to his delight, there was more text right after the last question. If you wish to add an additional enchantment, it must be empowered simultaneously. Be warned, this greatly increases the chance of enchantment failure. Do you wish to add a second enchantment, yes or no? Richter barely read the warning before choosing yes again. His list of enchantments reappeared, but this time sonic damage was grayed out. Clearly, he couldn't put the same enchantment on the same item twice. Not that he'd want to do so. Not a problem for me, though, Richter thought with a smile. I'm a fucking essence enchanter. I've got loads of enchantments to choose from.
There were still 28 enchantment slots left to fill. More than enough to bring a little more pain.
He decided to use something that had a base cost of 2. Not many of his enchantments offered that, so the choice was obvious. He selected Freeze.
The enchantment cost of Freeze, level 1, is 3. You can reach the 5th rank of this enchantment, base plus 1, advance in rank. But there is only room in your item to reach the 3rd rank. What rank would you like to enchant this item to? 1, 2, or 3?
If he had only one more point, he could have reached the 4th rank. But that was just proof that he needed to keep growing his profession. In the meantime, Richter chose 3 again.
Final yields from maximizing this enchantment are as follows. 9 to 10 earth damage, plus 200% versus air, plus 300% versus crystalline. Base 6, plus 48% for enchanting skill, plus 5% for increase enchantment strength, plus 10% for increase weapon enchantment. 7 to 8% chance to unleash the secondary enchantment Disarm, base 6, plus 25% for increase additional effect chance. 3% chance to unleash tertiary effect Shatter, base 3, plus 10% for increase additional effect chance. 4 to 5 water damage, plus 100% versus fire. Base 3, plus 48% for enchanting skill, plus 5% for increase enchantment strength, plus 10% for increase weapon enchantment. 4% chance to unleash the secondary enchantment Freeze. Base 3, plus 25% for increase additional effect chance. You have elected to enchant High Steel Spiked Mace with Sonic Damage, level 2, rank 3, and Freeze, level 1, rank 3. Do you wish to power this enchantment? Yes or no?
Richter chose yes and reached into his bag of holding, knowing what was coming next.
28 Soul Stone points are required to create this enchantment. To finalize, expend the appropriate souls.
Richter pulled out 1 weak and 2 common souls. Each came from capturing the spirit of a slain monster. He had stronger captured souls, but they were much harder to come by, and he didn't want to waste them. Common and weak souls would be good enough for this mace.
He wouldn't even be using this many for a common quality weapon, but he wanted to experiment with his new dual enchantment talent.
His journeyman rank in enchanting meant that he could use 2 soul stones at once. Another talent that he had purchased, increase maximum number of soul stones, let him add 1 more. He had also bought a talent, increase soul stone yield, that boosted the conversion of soul points to enchantment points by plus 25%. Now, instead of each weak soul giving 3 soul points and each common giving 10, they provided 3.75 and 12.5 respectively. With those bonuses, it meant that using the 3 souls would provide 28.75 enchantment points, more than he needed. The leftover soul stuff would be lost to the ether.
He was so excited to try his new enchantment that his fingers were tingling. Richter laid the 3 soul stones near the blue metal of the high steel mace and focused. Something inside of him that was unique to those with the enchanting skill connected with the amber jewels and pushed. The stones responded to their master and crumbled to dust. The dust blew away in an unfelt wind, leaving no trace but the swirling ribbons of rainbow light that were now released. The freed souls circled the mace, blending together. The radius shrunk until it was no more than a foot wide and a hand breadth above the weapon. The energy sank into the high steel as the enchantment tried to take hold. Then everything went terribly wrong. Every time Richter had enchanted an item in the past, a pressure-like feeling built in the air, noticeable only to him. It was like gradually diving deeper and deeper, a resistance and compression that he felt from head to toe and even inside of him somehow. The larger the enchantment, the worse the pressure would get. Glorin, another village enchanter, had explained that what he was experiencing was the item resisting the enchantment. Every material had an innate resistance. Some metals, like iron, were extremely hard to enchant. Others, like Elementum, almost welcomed magical properties. Because of this, Elementum was much easier to enchant. The way Glorin had put it was that the green metal had a startlingly low enchantment resistance, also known as a high enchantment coefficient. High steel fell somewhere in the middle of the pack. Different metals and materials also had varying capabilities for the amount of enchantment energy they could hold. Trying to place too much soul stuff into iron, for instance, could have dangerous consequences. Compared to lesser metals, elementum is the almost bottomless well to their wooden bucket. From previous experience, Richter knew that the high steel mace had more than enough capacity to hold the 36 points of soul stuff. That was why it was such a shock when the weapon exploded. While every item resisted enchantment somewhat, it had always felt to Richter like the pressure increased gradually. It could become uncomfortable, even a bit painful, but to successfully enchant an item, he had only ever needed to hold on. This time, the feeling struck him unawares. Not only was it stronger by an order of magnitude, but it felt different. Instead of pushing in one direction against a force, this time the enchantment felt like it jumped out of his control, as if it was a squirming animal. Richter had just enough time to register that odd feeling before everything went black. When he regained consciousness, the first thing he saw were blinking red prompts. You have taken 72 points of piercing damage. You are bleeding. You are losing 4 health per second. You have a concussion. You are befuddled. The next he registered, he was hearing his name as if someone were shouting down a long tunnel.
Lord Richter? Lord Richter? Lord Richter! Can you hear me?
The Chaos Seed realized that whomever was talking had actually been shouting the whole time. As his momentary deafness passed, he became aware of a ringing in his ears. His wits were thoroughly addled, and he felt pain all over. Specifically, his head was throbbing, and there was a sharp pain in the right side of his chest. He lay on the ground, blinking in confusion. He weakly waved off the arms of the smiths that were trying to help him up. Why were they bothering him? They had already gotten him to sit up. He was fine where he was. Alma flew up to hover in front of him.
Master, you have to pull this spike out.
Spike? What spike? What are you talking about, Alma? You sound funny. She sent him a burst of pure psychic frustration.
The spike in your chest, moron!
Richter frowned in bewilderment, but looked down.
Oh my god, he thought. There's a spike in my chest.
Part of him said he should be more concerned about that, but for now it just seemed like an interesting fact. Smaller pieces of metal had embedded themselves along the front of his breastplate. One large piece had punctured the armor and was sticking out of him like a nail in a board. Blood flowed down the inside of his chest piece. He looked back up at Alma with wonder in his eyes.
Alma, I have a spike in my chest.
Gah! Gyoti!
She thought with exasperation. She flew at his chest and landed hard. In his addled state, Richter's arms easily gave way, and he went from half-sitting to lying flat again, still sending him a constant stream of abuse, but somehow managing to make it sound like she was speaking under her mental breath. She wrapped both of her front claws around the shard of metal. Pulling with all her might, she drew out the spike that had skewered him when the weapon exploded.
Ow!
Richter shouted, glaring at his familiar. He knew that something wasn't quite right with the way he was thinking, but he also couldn't figure out what it was. His familiar rolled her eyes at him, and a golden aura surrounded her. A few seconds later, the healing magic closed his wound and replenished his lost HPs. It took a minute longer for him to lose the befuddled debuff, but when he did, he was able to work out what had happened. The extra difficulty of harnessing 2 enchantments at once had caught him unawares. Not expecting strong resistance all at once, the soul stuff had escaped his control. The results of that were unpredictable, but this time, the weapon had exploded. A piece of the hilt had poleaxed him right in the temple. A spike from the mace head shot like a bullet into his chest. The force was so great, it had even punctured his sprite breastplate. More pieces of the exploded mace had peppered his front, but thankfully, only the one shard had overcome his armor. If he hadn't been wearing his full kit, The accident might very well have killed him. The message was clear. His chosen profession was powerful, but also potentially dangerous. As soon as Richter's mind cleared, he checked on everyone else. Thankfully, the destructive radius of the explosion had been small. He probably wouldn't have been hurt at all if he hadn't been standing so close. The only other injury stemmed from one of the dwarves having been surprised by the loud bang of the explosion. It had made him drop a hot coal that had burned his hand. Apparently, the swearing had been impressive. The dwarf was from the Rock Grinder tribe in the Serrated Mountains, and his people took expletives to an art form. After Alma had healed him, though, he shook the pain off. The tough dwarf was already back at work. Richter sat on a nearby stool, head throbbing, and reflected on what had happened. He was fairly sure that creating a dual enchantment was within his capabilities. The magnitude of the resistance had just been a surprise. The Chaos Seed was almost positive that he could successfully complete the enchantment now that he knew what to expect. Unfortunately, the fact that the mace had exploded wasn't the only problem. As soon as he thought about enchanting, a prompt appeared. Know this. Professions are a path that can garner much power. You may cleave the very fabric of reality, brew the truth of the universe, or bring wonder to the banal. If you do not honor your profession by giving it your all, however, you will instead find a path to ruin and damnation. Heed this warning, enchanter. Talents which have been given can also be taken away. Your enchanting skill has been damaged by the feedback of soul stuff during your latest attempt. Your ability to enchant will be unavailable for the next 3 hours and 11 minutes. This setback has also reversed some of your progression to the next level. -4% progression to the next skill level. Your enchanting skill has been adjusted to level 48, 79%. Richter started grinding his teeth while he read the prompt. Progressing in a skill wasn't just a function of hard work and elbow grease. The affinity one had for a skill came heavily into play as well. Richter's limitless ability gave him a 100% affinity in every skill, which meant he could breeze through skill leveling compared to almost anyone else. To make it even better, the bonus of being the master of an air ley line gave him another ability, Fast Learner. It increased the speed that he learned skills by 30%. Basically, he was a skill-grinding machine. Even with all his perks, though, it took 4 fucking ever to progress at higher levels. He could make it through levels 1 through 5 of any skill in an hour. At level 48, though, that measly 4% might take him days, if not weeks, to make back. It also didn't help that he only had himself to blame. The prompt had been right. His mind had been elsewhere when he had started the enchantment. He had been focused on his own magnificence and what other great enchantments he might one day create. Richter's mind had not been in the moment. He had not been honoring his craft. He had been thinking of how he could profit from it. The Chaos Seed promised himself that he would not make that mistake again. Though it might take him longer, he would give his projects his all and do his best not to be distracted by the trappings of his success. It also rankled to lose 3 hours of enchanting time. He told the smiths that he would return later to get as many projects ready as they could. Richter couldn't enchant finished items without a penalty because of the 7-minute rule, but that didn't mean his people couldn't start a queue of almost finished projects. Hopefully, when his current restriction expired, he could get some more work done. He made sure to tell them to get started on as many high steel arrowheads as possible. Richter wanted to send the village hunters and some of the sprites out with soul trap arrows today. He apologized to the dwarf whose mace he had ruined. The smith just picked up the warped and blackened nub of its handle and looked at his lord ruefully.
Not to worry, your lordship. I can make another in about a week.
Richter winced at the time required. There was no help for it, though. He nodded to the dwarf and clapped him on the shoulder before turning to leave the forge. Another dwarf stopped him, though.
Would you like us to repair that, your lordship?
The smith was pointing at the 1-inch hole in his chest plate. He thanked the dwarf for reminding him. The smiths helped him out of his armor. Every time he took the gear off, he thought about how easy it was to get in and out of these metal suits in a game. In real life, donning armor entailed clasps, ties, and irritating minutes of maneuvers. Richter could get out of his armor by himself, but it was time-consuming and much more difficult. He left his entire suit so they could take care of the minor dings he had gotten in the dungeon as well. Completely unencumbered, wearing only his brown pants and a stiff black jerkin, he left the Forge of Heavens. As he walked out into the sunshine, Alma trumpeted to get his attention. The side eye she gave him translated across species and dimensions. Having gotten the same look from plenty of women back on Earth, he knew she was telling him he was still a moron, and that all the ills of his life would disappear if he just listened to her. He was tempted to reply and defend himself, but didn't. Another natural law that he was sure remained true in any world was that arguing with a woman right after you'd done something stupid was like pissing on a generator. You might think you were in charge for a second or two, but you were just going to end up with a sad dick. So instead, he weathered the barrage of running recriminations for what he judged would be a mollifying amount of time. It never paid to apologize to a woman too soon. That would just get you in trouble for either being condescending or not taking her seriously. Every man worth his salt knew it was best to let her see you suffer for a bit. Of course, you couldn't wait too long either. Then you got in trouble for ignoring her. What you wanted to do was speak right after her tone went up an octave or two, but before her nostrils started flaring. That was the sweet spot. Once he was in the zone, he started sending her thoughts of love and appreciation. Adding a little butter at the end about how he would be lost without her, he was finally able to placate the agitated dragonling. She flew down and settled upon his shoulders. Feeling her familiar weight brought a smile to his face. That moment of happiness fled, however, as he realized it was finally time to do something he had been putting off for too long. It was time to apologize to Alora for letting her children die. Chapter 30, Day 142, Kuborn 32, 0 AOC. Richter walked west through the village towards the northern meadow. The sky was a calm blue in which scattered white clouds floated. Villagers greeted him with smiles, and many bowed slightly as he walked by them. A pair of guards walking in the opposite direction stood to the side and clapped their fists to their hearts until he passed. Everywhere he looked, he saw signs that his people were happy, healthy, and content. He reached the bottom of the hill leading up to the meadow that held the quickening. Before leaving for his trial, Roswan had built two thick walls. One was at the bottom of the hill, and the other was at the top. The eastern edge of both fortifications melded into the rock wall that formed one side of the trail. The western side of the trail ended in a sheer escarpment. Roswan had built the third wall to follow the western edge of the path. The two larger walls were 20 feet high and 4 feet thick. They were all made of a sparkling white stone called marbled quartz. Gray veins traced through the material, giving it its name. Though visually appealing, it was also harder and more difficult to work than regular stone. The guard stationed at the bottom wall saluted and stood aside. The gate was already open. Tarad had only assigned one guard to each battlement. Unless there was an attack or a monster came too close to the outer walls, the gates remained open. The guard's primary purpose was to keep anyone without clearance out of the meadow. Between the dragon's cauldron, the quickening, the scaff nest, and the hidden cave that contained the crystal garden, there were many valuable and sensitive locations that Richter didn't want people to have unrestricted access to in the upper meadow. If he could do it all over again, he would have placed the Forge of Heavens there as well. Richter wasn't one to dwell in the past, though. He walked by the lower gate guard with a nod and started up the slope. When he was halfway there, a prompt appeared in his vision. Congratulations, you have learned the enchantment Soul Trap, Weapons, Level 1, Rank 1, Enchantment Size 2, Enchantment School, Life, Effect 1, Capture Soul. Each rank traps the soul of the struck creature on this plane for 5 minutes. Can capture up to special level souls. Richter was surprised by the length of time the capture soul effect lasted. Even at the first rank, the effect lasted twice as long as the spell that it had come from. It was the first time he realized that even the lowest version of his enchantments could be stronger than the spells he knew. It made him stop and think. So far, he had been thinking of his essence specialty as a way to become a more prolific enchanter. If the enchantments could be stronger than magic, though, it might be a way to make him even more dangerous as a spell slinger. He decided to start unlocking more spell enchantments as soon as his talent points allowed. Of course, he now had a deficit and couldn't use talent point conversion again until he earned back the 175,000 XP he'd used up. One more prompt appeared. You now have unlocked the enchantment Soul Trap Weapons, level 2. Enchantment size, unknown. Enchantment school, life. You are currently at 0 of 240,000 for the mana cost to learn this enchantment. Effects, unknown. Richter was more than curious about what effect the second level of the enchantment would offer. Time was of the essence, however. Instead of letting the mana roll over, he started investing in life defense. With Alma's help, he should be done with the enchantment before the time limit on his enchantment penalty expired. You have started learning the enchantment Life Defense, level 1. Enchantment size unknown. Enchantment school, life. You are currently at 0 of 2,400 of the mana cost to learn this enchantment. Effects unknown. Richter passed the upper wall and once again was saluted by one of his guards. Once he was at the top of the hill, he took a minute to take in the majesty around him. The cliff walls that surrounded the meadow sparkled white in the summer sun. Marbled quartz ran in veins through the normal gray rock, making the cliffs a beautiful sight to behold. The grass was cut short thanks to the mist workers that were tasked periodically with keeping the meadow manicured. Butterflies and bees flew from the many wildflowers that dotted the grassy expanse. To the left, a well-manicured garden grew herbs ranging from common to scarce in order to fuel the potions that his people depended upon. Beyond the gardeners tending that patch of land, Richter's second core building stood, majestic in the summer sun. It was made entirely of clear glass, an impossibly hard translucent material. It was easily distinguished from the fragile silicon of its namesake. Every ray of light that entered the walls and ceiling of the dragon's cauldron refracted into startling rainbows. An herb shed was attached to the core building, also made of glass. That was where many of the village's more valuable herbs were grown, including a few rare plants. On the far western side of the meadow, a lake was fed by a waterfall that fell from the mountains above. At night, the phosphorescent plants that grew along the bottom made it glow a faint green. During the day, however, it was a startling arctic blue. Hidden along the banks was a pen made of high steel where Richter kept a clutch of baby scaths. The small creatures were being bred for battle. Hidden behind the waterfall that fed the lake was a tunnel. It led back into the rock, the beginning of a large cave system. This was where Richter had planted his crystal garden. The warren had once housed a creature of true horror, a dark aberration that he had chopped into small pieces himself. Sometimes his mind went back to that battle, and he couldn't suppress an involuntary shudder. The thing had fed on the souls of the innocent for centuries, corrupting them in the process. He still had an unresolved quest to cleanse 20 black gems of that taint. The hearth mother had said she could help once they returned to the hearth tree, though she had recoiled in disgust from the tainted jewels. Inscribed along the northern cliff face was an enchanted monument to all the villagers who had been killed since the founding of the village. Their names glowed one at a time, a constant reminder of those who had paid the ultimate price for the settlement. He remembered one name above the others, a small girl named Petal. She had been slaughtered when the bugbears had raided his village. She often came to his mind. It was a true tragedy that after the battle with the goblins, the list of names had more than doubled. In the northeast corner of the glade was perhaps the most powerful and most important feature of the village. The quickening was a majestic tree that rose gracefully from the ground. The silver bark was smooth, but also inscribed with whorls and symbols. Richter had often wondered if it was a celestial language. His gift of tongues ability was powerful, but he had learned in his first moments in the land that it could not decipher heavenly or demonic languages. The words of higher or lower beings were beyond him. It was this heavenly tree that was Richter's destination. Amidst the snow-white leaves, a celestial people made their home. The pixies had been gone from the land for millennia, slaughtered by a magical plague. All that had remained was one queen, hidden away in a chrysalis. The rebirth of the pixies was what had made the wood sprites of the hearth tree Richter's allies. Alora, the pixie queen, had bonded with the quickening. In doing so, she had evolved her race into celestials. In all the world, there had been only 101 pixies, Alora and her children. Now, because of Richter's decision to attack the goblins, some had died. When he got closer, he looked out for the two sprites that normally guided the tree. For the first time in months, they did not greet him, however. Richter was slightly surprised. Then he realized the Hearth Mother had probably recalled them. With her army camped in the village, the tree was more than protected. Also, the nearly 100 Maedon sprites that had sworn their allegiance to Richter often spent their time under the boughs of the quickening. More than 30 were there as he walked up. They had once been wood sprites, forest sprites, and hill sprites, disparate peoples who had not liked and possibly even hated one another. Once they bonded with their Metu Maedon pixies, they had all been reborn as Maedon sprites. All were now united in purpose. They saluted as he approached. Richter returned the respect and then with an easy smile told them to relax. He passed under the boughs of the tree and looked up. Pixies of four different colors darted around under the canopy. While the tops of the quickening's leaves were a thick, velvety white, the bottoms were a shining silver to match the trunk. When they saw Alma, a great cry of delight spread among them. The dragonling immediately flared yellow as she cast weak haste. With her speed increased by 15%, she started a swooping, diving game of chase with the pixie children. The Chaos Seed smiled faintly at his familiar, but kept walking towards the trunk itself. The tree was dozens of yards high, and the limbs arced outward like a bell. They swayed as gently as a willow in the wind and reached almost to the ground. The central pillar of the tree was made of 8 individual trunks that plaited together into an octuple helix. The center of the quickening was hollow, and gaps could be seen in the trunk. This was where he found Alora. The queen was wearing a simple dress of white made from the leaves of her bonded tree. Her children were between 6 and 8 inches tall and had wings and hair that matched, either gold, pale yellow, black, or blue. Alora, in turn, was 1 foot tall. Each of her 4 wings was a different color, also representing the ley lines that made up Richter's place of power. Her hair fell straight down, not a strand out of place. It was a pristine white, and it reached down to her calves. Her face was soft and sorrowful. Her eyes were puffy. They were normally pure white, but now they were silver-streaked in the same way a human's would have been red-rimmed if they were grieving. It was clear that she had been crying. Despite her sorrow, she flew towards him, her wings a blur. A faint dusting of pixie dust fell behind her, disappearing a moment after it was shed.
"I am happy that you have returned safely, my lord."
She hovered in midair and curtsied. The pixie was a queen, but she had also sworn fealty to Richter and honored that commitment. "Thank you," he responded softly. "I'm sorry that I haven't had this discussion with you before now." He paused to collect himself before going on. "I did not know that the deaths of my Maedon sprites would lead to the deaths of the pixies they had bonded to. I'm sorry for your loss." Richter debated various approaches and speeches, but as always, he settled for speaking from the heart.
"I appreciate your words, my lord. I believe there has been a misunderstanding, however. My children have not died."
Richter's eyes widened in shock. Not only did it seem he had been misinformed, but her words did not match her tone. She still spoke as a woman bereft, precisely as Richter would expect her to sound if her children had died.
"I don't understand." She took a deep breath.
"Please, Follow me, Lord Richter.
The queen flew away from the quickening, and a bewildered Richter followed. Alma stayed relatively close so she could keep feeding mana to her master. The pixie children trailed behind her, a kaleidoscope of laughing children swooping through the air. Lining the edge of the meadow was a string of tall evergreens. They were among the few trees Richter hadn't chopped down when he was reclaiming the village from the wilderness. They served as a great windbreak and also helped to hide the treasures the meadow contained. Alora flew at the speed of a leisurely walk, neither hurried nor hesitant. The two companions passed the garden. Isabella and the other gardeners looked at Richter with smiles on their faces. Most of them picked up on the somber tone in the air, though. The one or two that started to hail their lord were silenced by a quick word from Isabella. Alora continued to fly forward until she stopped in front of a tree. She hovered in midair and turned her face towards Richter. He couldn't read her expression exactly. It was sad, but also filled with love. She turned back towards the tree and ran her hand along a knot in the wood.
Please place your hand here, Lord Richter.
Still at a loss, Richter did as she asked. To his surprise, when he touched the knot, it was warm to the touch. The wood wasn't hot. It was more like the heat you would feel when touching an animal.
Look closer.
Alora beckoned him to inspect the knot of wood. It just looked like normal bark to him, but again, he did as he was bid. His eyes scanned the surface of the tree, not seeing anything unusual or that would explain the warmth he felt. He was about to give up when he saw a faint irregularity in the bark. The folds were curved in the shape of a tiny face. Blinking in surprise, he used Analyze. Name, Tani, level 2. Disposition, trusting, confused. Race, Celestial Pixie, Sakaru. Stats. Health, 1 of 40. Mana, 1 of 110. Stamina, 1 of 80. Attributes. Strength, 1. Agility, 11. Dexterity, 14. Constitution, 4. Endurance, 8. Intelligence, 11. Wisdom, 10. Charisma, 12. Luck, 9. Description. This celestial pixie has suffered the loss of her Metu Maidon. Such a loss is like the loss of a piece of a pixie's soul. Sakaru pixies become mindless for a time and are capable of great evil. The pixie queen Alora was able to trigger her child's ability Tree Communion. This pixie has retreated inside of this grained cedar tree. The tree will offer protection, but the pixie herself is extremely vulnerable. In time, this pixie may heal and emerge, but must be protected until that day comes. She might also bond completely with this evergreen to create a tree elemental. There are many possibilities of what can come from the Sakaru, and most are dangerous. Only time will tell.
She's alive in there? Richter asked in awe. There was so much more to the pixies than he had suspected.
Yes,
Alora answered. Her voice was fond, but also sad. She still had one hand pressed against the bark that her child slumbered beneath while she spoke.
I was able to get her and four of her brothers and sisters to bond with these trees.
She indicated four other nearby evergreens. Richter made mental notations on his traveler's map so he would remember which trees needed to be protected.
I cannot say how long my Tani will slumber,
the pixie queen continued.
I cannot even know if she will ever wake. This is a safer choice than the alternative, however. That I know.
With her last statement, her tone had changed. The sorrow was still there, like the bass line in a blues song, but she had also become deadly serious. Richter was no longer speaking to a grieving mother. She was listening to a queen imparting a warning. What do you mean? He asked.
The Sakaru is the severing of the bond between Metu Maidons. The soul bonding of a pixie and sprite gives both of their lives meaning. They are finally complete and can begin to fulfill their one shared destiny. If a Maidon pixie dies first, her sprite is often bereft, possibly for years. They will remain themselves, however.
And when the Maidon sprite dies? Richter prompted. He was sure that the answer was not nearly as benign.
The Sakaru changes my people into something different. We are awash with anger, sadness, and loss. To make things worse, however, our racial ability, Fate's Companion, is affected. It is that ability which allows a pixie to form the bond with their metumedon. Whereas before, a pixie could only bond with the sprite they were fated to join with. After their metumedon's death, the bond becomes untethered. Pixies that have suffered this okuru can bind to other beings. In a perversion of the metumedon, severed pixies can become metusakeru. The metusakeru bond is so deep that the two beings physically meld together, just as my daughter has become embedded in this grained cedar. When a severed pixie bonds to a normal, healthy tree, the chance for evil is almost nil. In time, my child might even reemerge and be able to live a normal life. If a sakeru pixie binds to a monster or an evil creature, however, they can greatly augment the power of such beings. The potential damage is incalculable. Even worse, the pixie soul can be corrupted for all eternity.
She flew even closer to Richter.
It takes time for the melding to become permanent. If the new bonding is broken quickly, my child can still be saved. They can be removed from the body of whatever creature they are bound with. If one of my children remains in the metusakeru long enough to recover their strength and fly again on their own, or if they fully bond with a monster, then they will be forever lost to darkness. In the past, such pixies would emerge with their very race changed. They became corrupted pixies, and wherever they flew, disease and rot would often follow. That was before my race evolved to become a celestial people, however, my lord. I fear that if a celestial pixie were to be fully corrupted, they might become something much worse than merely a corrupted pixie.
The queen was agitated, and the dust falling from her wings was tinted red at this point. She turned away from the tree and flew closer to Richter until she hovered just in front of his face.
You apologized for the death of my children. Now you know that a fate much worse than merely passing beyond this plane may await them. I do not blame you for their loss, my lord. In the land, death is inevitable, and if it were not for you, none of us would now live.
She shook her tiny head.
You also apologized for not coming to speak to me sooner. You now know that it is I who must apologize for not warning you of this danger earlier. My heart was simply too full of sorrow. You have done much for me and my people, Lord Richter, but I must ask you for more. If you bear me any love, my liege, please heed my plea. 9 of my children, my very blood, were lost to the sakeru. 5 have been placed safely in the trees we stand beneath. The other 4 have fled into the forest. Nature is balanced, my Lord Richter. This can be seen in every sunrise and every sunset. So too can it be seen in the symmetry of my missing children. 1 is of water magic, another of dark, the 3rd is of air, and the last is of life. Will you find my children and bring them back to me if they remain pure? Even if you can only bring 1 back, it would mean the world to me. If they have been irrevocably corrupted by the time you find them.
Her voice caught, and silver tears ran down her face. She closed her eyes, unable to look at him as she said the final words.
Please do what must be done.
Richter gazed upon the pixie with both sorrow and surprise swirling in his heart. Elora had unexpected depths. She had been a scared child when they had first met. Though only a few months had passed, she had become a mother and a queen. In the land, it was not time that determined your character, but what you chose to do with it. Now this small creature that had given rebirth to her entire race was strong enough to safeguard not only her people, but the entire world from the dangers her children could pose. Richter could barely fathom the pain that her request must have caused, but what he did understand was enough to make his heart ache. Before he could respond, the universe itself weighed in on her plea. You have been offered a quest, Sakeru 1. You have learned that the celestial pixies are more than just nature's caretakers. If their bonded sprite, their metumedon, is killed, then their ability, Fate's Companion, can be corrupted by binding to monsters or evil creatures. You have been charged by your companion, Elora, the Pixie Queen, to recover the 4 pixies that have fled the Mist Village. Will you endeavor to find these lost souls? It is your choice, but the entreaty of a celestial being is not to be ignored lightly.
Success conditions. Find and return at least one of the lost pixies. If any are corrupted beyond hope of salvation, kill them before they can wreak havoc in the land. Reward unknown, but increases for each pixie returned to Alora. Penalty for failure or refusal of quest, possible corruption of the forest, possible emergence of abyssal creatures in your domain. Do you accept? Yes or no? Richter's heart began thudding powerfully in his chest as he read the last lines. An abyssal creature? He knew that pixies were devoted to the cultivation and preservation of nature. Alora had told him in the past that when her children were old enough to start bonding to local trees, there would be a great bonus that would come to his village. What if the opposite were true for Sakeru pixies? What if they began to breed? That wasn't even taking into account how much stronger they could make the monsters to which they bonded. The sprites that had bonded to the celestial pixies had evolved into a stronger race. Their attack power had more than doubled, and they had grown in size by 33% on average, increasing their strength, constitution, and endurance. What if one of the Sakeru pixies had bonded to his old enemy, the rock giant? Richter couldn't even imagine how horrible that monster might have become. There was no doubt that he was going to accept this quest, but he needed to know something first. How can I find them?
They will not have flown far, my lord,
Alora answered.
The need to bond again is incredibly strong. They would instinctually be drawn towards beings of great power. It is possible that the magics each of my children embody can give some clue as to the beings they are melded with. I will tell you that based on the stories my mother told me of Sakeru Maidan, they will not be difficult to find. Simply watch for disruptions of the natural order.
Well, that's not ominous at all, Richter thought. He sent a mental call to Futin while he considered the problem. It seemed like everything he did triggered another major cascade of events. He had done something good by growing the quickening, which had led to the rebirth of the pixies. That had led to sprites being drawn to his village, which had led to him meeting Little, the hill sprite. That in turn had triggered his attack of the goblin village to free their captives and remove the threat of the bloodstone. They had succeeded. Another win for good as far as Richter was concerned. Now he was finding out that despite winning that battle, the deaths of some of his sprite soldiers might trigger the emergence of an abyssal race into the land. That was clearly in the bad column. It was enough to make his head throb. Those fucking Aes Sedai had been right. It just didn't make sense, though. Yes, actions always had unintended consequences, but they shouldn't always be world-shaking events. No matter what scientists said, flapping butterfly wings in Georgia did not actually cause hurricanes in China. Yet for him, it seemed that they did. It was almost like he was both drawn to pivotal moments and, by his very nature, triggered massive change. The Chaos Seed thought about it for a few more moments and decided he was just being crazy. Richter selected yes on the quest thread. He and Alora walked back towards the quickening, and she told him everything else that she knew about her lost children. She had never actually encountered any Sakeru pixies. They had been scary stories some of the other pixies had told her when she was young, before the plague had killed everyone but her and her mother. None of it was very helpful, but luckily, he had an entire village and an allied army at his disposal. Before they made it back to the Silver Tree, Futin floated up.
How may I serve you, my lord?
The remnant asked in his deadpan voice. Richter told him to find the village hunters and have them equip themselves with soul trap arrows the next morning. It occurred to him that he should designate a lead hunter so he would be able to communicate with them more effectively. He told Futin to relay that note to Randolphus. He was sure the Chamberlain would already know who the best candidate was. Alora said she would fly to find Hisako and relate the story personally. Richter thanked her and asked her to also relate that the sprites could pick up empty soul stones and soul trap arrows from the forge as well. There was no doubt in his mind that the Hearthmother would take the matter very seriously. In the morning, he wanted his hunters, his Maidan sprites, and as many wood sprites as the Hearthmother could spare to search for these Sakeru Maidan. Futin began to float away, and as an afterthought, Richter told him to tell everyone to be on the lookout for a new pet he could tame. Ideally, another high-level reptile, seeing as how he had received a substantial bonus when he had made one of them his pet. The remnant asked if there was anything else. If Furton had a superpower, it would be his ability to magically communicate sarcasm and disdain with absolutely no inflection at all. Richter just batted the floating orb away like a volleyball, and the remnant moved off. When Alora looked at him now, he could see there was a bit less stress in her face.
It brings great ease to my heart to know that you will try to bring my children back to me, Lord Richter.
The deference and respect in her voice was clear. It was further accentuated by the curtsy she performed while hovering in midair. I will do my best. There is one other reason I've come to see you, though. If you and your children will be in combat, I want you to start training. The Pixie's battle form ability greatly improved their chances of survival in a fight, but from what Richter had seen so far, it was an involuntary reflex for the Pixie children. He wanted to change that. Their other offensive ability, Force Blast, also needed to be developed. Richter had seen how Sapir had fired a blast of air energy earlier, but the Pixie had seemed worn out after that. The second attack had faltered. Richter didn't know if one shot was all a Pixie could manage. That might be the case if the attack was mana-dependent. If Force Blast was more like a muscle, though, the more it was used, the stronger it would get. He intended to find out either way. Alma was proof that the size of a creature wasn't a reflection of its power. His little familiar was a killer through and through. He told Alora that he wanted her to take all of her children to the large rock at the east side of the village every day. It stood 15 feet tall, solitary in the grass. Its location, inside of the village walls, made it safe for training, and it was also far enough removed from any of the buildings that other villagers shouldn't be put in danger. The only thing nearby was the spot where the hunters dressed their kills, also distant from other buildings for obvious olfactory reasons. The rock was where Richter did his own skill grinding. He would unleash his offensive spells in quick succession until he was mana depleted. Then he would run through his sword forms or fire arrows at target rings he had set up until his stamina depleted. At that point, the cycle would begin again. The mana headaches were horribly aggravating, and vomiting from exhaustion wasn't fun. But after doing it for weeks, he was finding his tolerance for both mana and stamina depletion was improving. Richter intended for the Pixies to push themselves in the same way.
It will be done, my lord. Before you go, you should know that the quickening fruit should be ready tomorrow, or if not, the next day.
Richter's eyes widened in interest. There's no chance of them being ready now, is there? One of the things he had been waiting for impatiently was for the celestial tree to bear fruit. When it had first grown, a prompt had said that the fruit was one of the things that gave celestials their great powers.
Oh, no,
Alora replied, almost affronted. Her voice indicated Richter had suggested something thoroughly indecent.
It would not be right to harvest such a wonderful fruit before it was ready. As a Pixie, you can believe that I know my own bonded tree.
Yes, well, I suppose, Richter grumbled, a bit disappointed. He was sure she was right, though. He left her company with a bow. The Pixie children had grown a bit bored chasing Alma, so she was able to escape with her master. A quick check showed that he still needed more time to finish learning his latest enchantment. Richter thought about what to do, then a smile crossed his face. It was time to visit the Scaths. Chapter 31, Day 142, Kuborn 32, 0, AOC. Richter stopped by the dragon's cauldron on his way to the Scath pen. Tavia was hard at work, and she wasn't alone. He was pleased to see that some of the other villagers were helping out. He had let each of the village leaders in crafting, combat, and magic assess their fellow villagers and gather whomever would be useful. Krom and Tavia got first dibs as they were both in charge of his core buildings. Finding more smiths had been easy, as many had worked in forges before leaving law. There had only been one or two, however, who were trained in alchemy. Luckily, Tavia had found a few villagers that possessed enough affinity in alchemy to start learning the skill. They were apparently given the dirty jobs of harvesting body parts from the beasts and monsters that were downed by the hunters every day. But hey, shit always rolled downhill. It was gravity. Some of the lesser alchemists nodded and saluted with their hands to their chests. Tavia was entirely engrossed in an experiment, though. Richter had been around when one of those had gone wrong, so he had no desire to distract her. Explosions were not the worst-case scenario.